This is Maria with The Why, from Success to Startup Show, bringing you the whys of entrepreneurship on KLOS 95.5 FM HD3, SoCalArmenian.com. Hello, welcome to Startup to Success with Maria. My magical guest today is Magical Katrina, the most popular female magician in Los Angeles. She is the winner of 5 different awards and has performed her unique blend of playful and whimsical magic worldwide. She has been a cast member of the international touring show Champions of Magic and a performer on numerous network television shows, including Masters of Illusion and Penn and Teller Fool Us. Katrina, thank you so much for joining me today. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
Oh my God, I'm so excited about our interview. I can't tell you. I love entrepreneurs that are talented and blessed to be talented like yourself, because entrepreneurship is one thing, but then to be so talented is another thing. And it's so interesting. Right before you came on the show, I was looking at all the videos, everything, the way you branded yourself. And I was just like, wow, I know you're a magician, but to me, you're the most magical entrepreneur I've ever come across. So I'm very thrilled to have you on the show. But before we begin, I always like to start off by, what inspired you to become a magician?
So I started wanting to be a performer when I was 3 years old, and I saw The Wizard of Oz with Judy Garland, you know, The Wizard of Oz. And I wanted to be an actor and do Broadway musicals. And I was one of those theater geeks. And then I moved to LA. Before I moved to LA, I went to clown school because I wanted to be a funny actor. And I met these people that my friend was a Spider-Man at children's parties. And he said, you can do this too. So I started being a princess at children's parties. They taught me like a little bit of magic and face painting and balloon twisting. And I would show up and I would sing for the kids. 90% of the time I was Elsa. I had wigs, of course. At first I dreaded doing the magic part. Like, I was terrified of it. It was really hard. And the people that taught it to me didn't really know magic. They just kind of were like, here's the secret. There you go. Which is not really how magic works. Like, the secret is one part of it, but it's not what you do. It's the way you do it and how you perform it and you make it your own. And like, there's so many magic principles I did not know. And I just was doing magic for children. It was kind of terrible. I had growing pains, but then as I did it longer, I slowly became better and better and better at it. And it stopped being the thing I was afraid of and the thing I looked forward to when I did shows. And then just from there, I started performing for adults, and I did close-up magic weddings, and I started taking classes at the Magic Castle in LA to really work on my sleight of hand. And it's just kind of like exploded and become my main focus now. And I sold all my princess costumes. And now I just do magic as myself, the best princess of all.
I love it. Oh my God, I love that. And I love how you took steps to improve yourself. You decided that's what you're going to do, and you seeked out the best places. I mean, the Magic Castle is one of the best places in Los Angeles to watch magic, and I'm sure obviously to learn as well. Now, what was your journey like in Los Angeles? Obviously, it's so saturated with so many talented people. How did you try to get that attention? And tell us a little bit about, did you go the agency route, or were you pitching yourself to a lot of these opportunities?
Well, I have an acting agent in San Francisco, and they'll send me, you know, a lot of industrial commercial tech things because it's San Francisco. I did get on the TV show 13 Reasons Why with my agent. That was really cool. I had like a small speaking day player role. And then I moved to LA, and I haven't had that much success with acting in LA, but I've gotten on TV multiple times because of magic. Magicians don't really have agents, not like actors or other performers. There are like cruise ship agents. I'm learning about being a cruise ship magician because I think it'd be cool to get paid to go to the Caribbean. But besides like specific weird niches, a lot of magicians don't have agents. It's kind of, they do everything. They do, you know, all of the business of show, which is, as you were saying before, I'm one of the most magical entrepreneurs. I totally agree with you. I think most of my success has come from being better at business than a lot of people. Yep. And I'm really fortunate because in a way in the magic industry, I'm a token. So Now I kind of know what guys who are in musical theater feel like getting all the parts, because there's so many women in musical theater, but there's so many men in magic and not a lot of women. So I get sought out to do little girl birthday parties, or like, I don't know if you know the Lime scooter company, the scooters you like rent with your phone.
Yes, yes.
Like, in line, we're like the Lyft and the Uber of scooter fighting. you know, when it first started. And so Lime recently hired me for their Galentine's Day party. It was like Valentine's Day virtual magic show for the women of Lime. And so I do like lots of things like that, that are, you know, female empowerment. I also do things that aren't gendered. Like I did the National Coffee Association convention this week, and which was fun because I love coffee. And I love coffee so much. And you know, companies and things, right? But in magic, I am a token. So that's really helped. I think also getting on TV multiple times really helped. I had to really get that myself. It was just constantly working really hard and not quitting. And so like, yeah, I could tell you the story about getting on Penn and Teller's Fool Us, because it was just like this uphill. Like I was like, I will not let them say no. I'm going to keep doing this. I'm just going to keep taking notes. And yeah, it's something I feel like I knew somehow that COVID was going to happen, because we recorded the March, first week of March of 2020. And the producers were like, maybe we'll have you on like next year. I don't know if it's there. And I kept sending videos and working on it and like taking their notes. And I was like, no, I'm getting on. And then that was the last year they had it with a live audience, which I think really adds to the video and makes it better, because you're performing for like 200 people and you can hear them instead of now. I love the show, but I think they have like canned laughter and they don't have a real audience. It's just a different quality of video. Yeah.
And like you said something interesting. You said you almost had a feeling that something like that was going to happen. Did you take any action in terms of going online more, creating more videos? Did you listen to your intuition and do something about it? I'm just curious.
So I don't know if I knew that COVID was coming, but I tend to like, when I want something, I'm like, I'm going to go for it. I'm going to make it my main focus, you know? And so part of me just was like, I have to get on. I have to get on this season. And so, yeah, no, I don't claim to have any like,
I had a feeling too, that something was going to happen. And 2019 was one of the best years for my marketing agency. I took on a client that got funded $100 million. So their ad spend money was like crazy. My company grew in a matter of 1 year, 330%. And so, but in the midst of all that, I'm panicking and I'm like, I need to start something online. And my husband was like, what? Don't you have enough work to do? Why would you start something online? And I'm like, no, I want to start online marketing courses or something. I don't know. I just want to start something online. I have a weird feeling. And he kept telling me, well, you wanted to do something online for the past decade. So don't make that as an excuse. I'm like, no, I feel like something's going to change. And then 3 months later, and I started this course, which I still haven't launched, by the way, because I'm so busy with everything else. But I did do the course. It's a startup course. It's called Startup Blueprint. I still have not launched it, but I put the whole thing together because I realized that if you want to start a business, these are the 7 things you need to do, like 7 major things. And I simplified it and I put the presentation together, put everything together. I sat with my daughter, who was at the time studying for this test to get into this really hard to get into high school. Long story short, I did it with her. And then the pandemic hit and I was like, see, I had a feeling, but the sad part is I still haven't launched it. So talking about, you know, having ideas, and I want to go back to that a little bit. And I would love to learn from you and also understand how in an industry like yours, you decide, what do you do? Do you create content that's going to live online? Or like, how do you decide? Because here you are getting paid to go to certain companies, especially the tech companies that have lots of money. They're so blessed with lots of money, right? And that's my sweet spot. I know how they are. They're the disruptors, the unicorn companies, and they have money. And when they have fun, they have fun. It's not even a question. But how, so my situation was, for example, I want to help the small businesses and I started my startup online course, but I didn't launch it. I have marketing tutorials, this, that, again, not launched, because I feel like it will conflict with what I do as an agency, right? Because agencies pay me money to do what I do. And I'm like, if I put all this stuff online, are they still going to pay me money and have my company do it? So I'm curious to know, did you go through anything like that, similar?
Well, I would say for you, it's, I think, similar to like, I was just talking to my friend that's a coder about this, because he was showing me some websites he's worked on. And you saw my website. I'm like, I could do the same with Squarespace. Like, why would I? Why? And I wasn't being rude. He's one of my best friends, but I was like, you know, companies hire coders if they could just go do, like, I think my website's super sexy. And it took a long time. Like the first princess company website I made looked like go through web. And then I realized, you know, stick to some colors and like make it simple. And now it looks nice. So it's like, why would anyone do that if they could go do it themselves? And he said, you know, that's like with anything. You could clean your house, but you can buy a maid. And so I think, yes, you're giving people a blueprint. True. You're giving them a thing, but the manager of Google, whatever,
is not going to do it themselves.
That they want to spend that money and have someone else deal with it. They want to pay to make life easier. And so it's like the difference between a boutique, like personalized, done for you experience, and like, here's how to do it yourself if you have lots of time. Yeah. And so I think they both marriage really well, and you should offer them, because they, you know, who knows, maybe that person who's like a startup, they're going to do your blueprint. And then 10 years later, they're the next Google, and they're like, I remember when I did her blueprint. And then they come to you. So it's kind of like planting seeds that later become money trees.
Wow, you just said it, planting seeds. And I think that's what entrepreneurship has become nowadays, where you cannot expect results right away. You have to think so big and so far in advance, where you start planting seeds now and hope that, you know, when the time comes, they'll all start growing and blooming. So not just your online presence, but just in general, it seems like you have this natural gift to always be ready for camera and speaking. Tell me where that comes from. Is that something you just did practice and get better, or were you just naturally a good performer?
I was one of those, you know, little kids at like five that knew all the words to all the musicals and would sing it. There's so many videos. Nice. Like at six singing Diamonds Are a Girl's Best Friend from Moulin Rouge. Like, why was I watching that movie as a child? But I loved it. So I've always been like a little like performing dork. But I definitely like grew up doing musical theater. I had an internship at the Northwest Children's Theater in Portland, Oregon. And this is kind of silly. I did the Rocky Horror Picture Show. You know, the thing where they throw like rice at the screen, the midnight showings. You know, I did that. It didn't pay. It was like every Saturday night. But I did that for like 3 or 4 years in high school. Kind of like that movie Perks of Being a Wallflower. I think they were in the Rocky. So just like that, that was my childhood. And I just did a lot of improv. And I basically, when I was three, I decided, I was like, I'm going to be an actress. Mm-hmm. And I figured like, if you're going to do something, you got to like do it hard from like, you have to commit to it. Wow. And so if you'd asked me from as a child, what I was going to do, it was going to be performing. But when I moved to LA, I didn't really know what I was doing, right? Like I was doing all sorts of things. I went and I did stand up. I did open mic classes. I went to Second City and I took improv and like stand up. I did burlesque for a bit for fun. I did pinup modeling. I did all these like things that didn't pay super well, but were random, that were fun. And I had no like a focus really. I was just performing and I dipped my toes in all these different things. But a lot of them I would do at corporate events. So like I started being characters at corporate events, and I was in a dance troupe that did corporate events. We did like 1920s dancing because the film The Great Gatsby had just come out. So every tech company in San Francisco and LA was doing Gatsby. So they were hiring our 1920s dance troupe. And I was like, wow, corporate pays like really well to act. Living in the Bay Area, I realized that I'm totally like getting off topic. This is not your question.
No, it's perfect. I love it.
Like to be an artist or do what you love, or, you know, marketing, what, just find out whatever you love and find a way to sell it to the tech companies or whoever has money. And you can still be an artist and do what you love. You just have to sell it to the people with money. And so I feel like there's like a lot of people that are like, I'm an actor, or I'm a magician, or I'm a singer, or I'm a comedian, and I'm just not doing well. And it's like, hey, just find out how you can take the thing you love, package it pretty, and sell it to tech companies. I mean, corporate companies, people with money. And you can still do art. You don't have to be a struggling artist. And it's you just make that leap and you realize that. So anyway, but I just, my whole life I'm doing performing. So I know that's not a really great, like note, just to go back and be three and decide to perform and work on that. But I would suggest for
people. I think it's a blessing that you knew at the age of three. It is. It truly is.
We'll see, but I'm just like, I'm going to go after what I want. Like that's the kind of child I was. I wanted it so bad. Like anytime I would wish on a birthday cake or have one of those like daisy flowers, I would be like, I want to be a famous actress.
Yeah.
Like two or not two, three. But I would say if you can't do that, because that's a lot, maybe take improv classes. Like improv is really good. I highly recommend it. I know that there's like improv people that do team building exercises and will do even corporate team building workshop. You can go, I mean, we're in Los Angeles, so you can go to Second City Groundlings. Yep. There's so many amazing improv things. And all the people that have been on Saturday Night Live did improv for the most part. So it's really good for just keeping you in the moment and on your toes and being able to react and improv.
Yeah. Amazing. And you know, you mentioned something. You said you were very stubborn. And I think that's what it takes for anybody to make it on their own, because it's really lonely and it's really difficult when you venture out on your own and decide that you're going to make money on your own terms. You're going to be your own boss. And it comes with a price. You have to have that personality that you can be persistently trying and not give up and be stubborn a little bit. I think most entrepreneurs that have succeeded were extremely stubborn. And, you know, I don't want to keep repeating the word entrepreneur, even though to me, you're one of the most magical entrepreneurs I've come across. I knew from a very young age that I wanted to be an entrepreneur. I wanted to just be involved in business. Everything to me was business. I love marketing, but I love the startup world. And that's why my marketing helps the startup tech companies. Now, I can't imagine how challenging it must be to be good at something like magic, like, right, be a magician, but then also be good at business. Like, for me, that's just so overwhelming. And I don't know how you do it, because to me, that's like having two separate careers and you have to somehow work really hard, improving both consistently, right? And work at both in a sense, because without being that business, without having the business mindset, you can't really push you yourself as a magician, as a brand, you can't push that forward. But then if you're not a good magician, you can't do the other. So how do you juggle? How do you do the two? That's just incredible. So
I've always been really interested in just all sorts of like business hacks. I love reading books. I love TED Talks a lot. When I was younger and still now. And I just love reading business books. I listen to books on Audible at like 2x speed. I'm trying to work up to 3x speed. I'm getting there.
Me too. Me too.
Well, I'm at like 2.1.
No, I'm at 1.5. I'm trying to get to 2, but 1.5 is the fastest I can go.
It's good. So, you've got there. My personal trainer is the one who told me about that. And he told me you really have to focus on hearing the space, the words. And if you really focus on that, you also can't have competing sounds. He listens at 3.5 speed and in his house, he has to have earphones with the sound. Cause if he doesn't walk around his house with earphones, if there's even like a slight sound, it'll sound like the end of a medicine commercial to him, you know, like, No competing sounds. That's my note if you're trying to learn how to speed read by listening to Audible fast.
Wow.
Yes, I love that. And one of my favorite books that changed my life as far as business goes is the book 4-Hour Workweek by
Tim. Oh my God, that changed my life too with Tim Ferriss. I wish he could come up with a newer version, because it's a bit outdated now if somebody else reads it. But I wish he could come up with a new version. He's amazing.
He's amazing.
I work with him. I used to work with him a lot more, but on the advertising side, we used to. I mean, he's one of the best. Like his podcast show, he does so well. He charges so much money for 1 minute narration. If I tell you the amount, you'll go crazy. Like, and this is like the last time we did it was years ago. So this was his price like a year years ago, like 45K.
If wow. Not,
like it probably fluctuated.
Or have a tiny 10 second thing?
No, like 1 minute integration for him to endorse is like that much.
Oh wow, not even like so to be a guest.
No, wow. not even a guest. No, if you want to promote a brand on his show, that's how, and he's very particular. He has to try it, he has to like it, he has to love it. You know, he's amazing. I love him. But
I love it. You know, and similar to Tim Ferriss, like I'm like, how can I hack the system? And so I've just read a lot of business books. And I've noticed if you read like 20 books about one subject, you know, some of that's fat that will be cut and a lot of it you won't remember. But if you read 10 books in a row and you don't even try that hard to like learn the stuff, there'll be reoccurring themes and things that come back over and over and over again. So if you just really want to learn one subject, read like 10 books on it And then you'll just, without trying, soak up that information. Like, did not do amazing. I mean, it was fine. But it just, you know, there's only a certain gap of what you can charge in that market. And moving to LA, is overly saturated because there's young, cute girls that move here and they're like, wow, I can make $40 an hour being a princess. Sign me up. No, they saw La La Land and they're like, I want to go to LA.
Stay tuned. We'll be right back on KLOS 95.5 FM HD3, SoCalArmenian.com.